Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior.
I would like to consider with you the Old Testament, and I'll read just the first couple of verses as we introduce our theme today. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. This is our text. Please be seated. We hear questions like that every day, don't we? When is winter ever going to quit? When am I ever going to get over this cold? Will this presidential election season ever come to an end? And on American Idol, will Simon Cowell ever offer a compliment? And when we ask those kinds of questions, it's not that we really expect an answer, but when you do answer those kinds of questions, you'll often answer them in this way. The Lord only knows. The Lord only knows. Imagine Ezekiel. He stands there in the midst of this valley in his vision, and to his horror, this valley is filled up with all of these dead, dry bones. And the Lord is walking him amongst all of these bones, and the Lord asks him, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel is a little bit flummoxed by the question. Lord, only you know, he says. And actually, I would imagine that Ezekiel had a number of other questions on his mind as well as this awful scene of this valley of the full of bones is presented to him. And the first question, I think the first question that would pop into my mind is, who are they? Imagine yourself a complete stranger to history and seeing for the first time a photograph of wagons loaded with hundreds of emaciated bodies all stacked up like a cord of wood. It is your first vision of the atrocities of Nazi Germany. That scene before Ezekiel is just that fresh, and it is that real as he walks around in these bones. Who are they? He must have wondered. The Lord only knows. And thankfully, though, the Lord does answer that question for us in the 11th verse. And he says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These were God's people. It must have shocked him when he heard that. This is God's people? Dead, dry bones? But by the time of his vision, by the time of Ezekiel's life, God's people had died of spirit. God had sent them into exile in Babylon because of their sin. And now they were living as strangers in a strange land. They were slaves of a foreign nation. They were forced to live apart from everything that they knew and loved back in their homeland. And they were as good as dead. Had you asked them about the condition of their lives, they would have said, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We have been cut off. Cut off from our land, cut off from our traditions, cut off from our God. We've been cut off. Now, let's say we were to walk around this area here in Northwest Ohio, in Henry County and surrounding areas. What would you see? If you'd open up your eyes, you'd see more dead, dry bones. In all those houses out there, people are watching dirty movies and also violent movies that shock the senses and numb the spirit. Teenagers are up in their bedrooms getting a warped sense of sexuality as they surf the internet all alone at night. Listen to the language that they use, the vulgarity, the abuse of God's name, the lewd humor that makes them laugh. Watch as family members criticize each other, abuse each other, disrespect each other, cut each other down, and look at them as they're accumulating all of this stuff in these beautiful homes that they have, and they are so poor in spirit. It is a valley of dead, dry bones out there. And to echo the words of the prophet, they are very dry. And then you couple that with the fact that some of those bones out there were people who once came into these very church doors and who worshiped with God's people years ago, but now they are completely lifeless. They're cracking in the heat. They were God's people, and now they're dead, and they're cut off, and they're dry. And that raises the second question, a question that would have popped in my mind. What happened? What happened to God's people? How did they die this way? Well, it wasn't war that killed them. No, God always fought on Israel's side. Remember Jericho? And it wasn't famine that had killed them, because theirs was the God who produced manna and quail and water miraculously in the wilderness and always provided for His people in rich abundance. No, what had slain these people was their own sin. It's what the psalmist said in Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked go down to the grave, and the nations who forget their God. And that is exactly what had happened in Ezekiel's day. By their pursuit of other gods, by their love of wealth, by their lack of love for each other, by their perversions of sexuality, by their mockery of the prophets, they had forgotten God. And they brought this death upon themselves. And it didn't happen all at once, by the way. It never does. It's not as though Israel jumped right from the altar of God one moment, right into a shrine of an idol and bowed there the next moment. But like most backsliding, this was a gradual process. It's like a progression that St. James writes about in his epistle. He says, each one of us is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. It's always the way it happens. It always starts so small. It starts as this little desire. Oh, a desire to be somewhere else on the Lord's day than in the Lord's house. And so a person gets dragged away and they miss a worship service. And then having missed one, they don't feel so bad about missing another one. And then they miss more and more. And they're missing Sunday school. And then they're missing opportunities to be in the fellowship of the saints. And then they are intentionally avoiding opportunities to be in fellowship with the saints. And before you know it, they are creasters. Do you know what a creaster is? A creaster is a Christian who worships only at Christmas and Easter. And then even that stops pretty soon. And before you know it, here they are, God's people, and they're laying out along with all of these other dead, dry bones in that valley that Ezekiel saw, lifeless, lacking all breath of the Spirit, and not even having enough sense to realize that they have dried and died. Sin is so subtle. It is so cunning. And it is so fatal. And then that raises the third question, and that's the question that's actually raised in this text. Can they live? Can they live? Ezekiel's answer to that question seems to be somewhat hesitant, almost as if he's saying, well, Lord, it sure doesn't look like it's possible they could live, but you know. And the words of the dead themselves reflect even less hope than that. They say in verse 11, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. Not only is there no life in this death valley, there's no faith anymore either. This was Israel, the people of God. They had once known God to be the God of their salvation, the God who had called them out of Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea, the God who had miraculously given them victory over their enemies, the God who had given them the land of the Canaanites on a silver platter. And now these people are so dead and dried up that they can't even remember that anymore. They have no hope anymore in the Lord. They've been cut off. Their whole life is discouragement, and that's because life is not meant to be lived apart from the Lord. Can they live? Boy, it sure seems doubtful. They are so dry. But the Lord knows. And he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you and will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So I prophesied as I commanded. And there was the sound, that rattling, as the bones came together, bone to bone. And there were sinews on them, and flesh came on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. It's not really living just to have a body and flesh, is it? The job is not quite yet done. These bodies still need breath. They need wind. They need spirit. Which, by the way, in the Hebrew is all the same word. The wind, the breath of God is the spirit that gives true life. Not just the life of the body, but real, abundant life of the spirit. The job is not yet completed. And so Ezekiel is now told to call upon the spirit to fill these bodies with life. And so we read in verses 9 and 10, They said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Can they live? Oh, yes, they can. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And did you hear the way Paul further expounded on this same theme in the epistle reading today? He said, And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. The spirit is the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This Jesus is the one who died for all of our backsliding ways, all of our pursuit of false gods, our love of money, our perversions of sexuality, our absenting ourselves from the church, our lack of love for each other. He died for all of it. But then having been crucified for our sins and having nailed all of our sins to his cross, the Spirit raised him to a new life again on Easter morning. And by his indwelling in each of us, he is calling us to share that new life with Christ. This is the hope of Northwest Ohio. It is the hope of all of those people out there in those homes who have long since died and dried up. And it's the only hope for our backsliding loved ones. They can live again, but only as the Spirit of Christ breathes into them. I know from speaking with you that many of you have concerns about family members of yours who have backslidden. But before we can deal with them, we who are here have to be ministered to first. Perhaps you have come here with a little bit of dryness in your own bones. Your relationship with the Lord has cooled off a bit. Well, let him breathe life into you again. Let the sweet message of his gospel, of the forgiveness of your sins, of the peace that is beyond all understanding, let that refresh you. Let the Spirit revive you as you bask in the afterglow of the absolution, the assurance of the forgiveness of your sins. And let the Spirit revive you as you anticipate your participation in the life-giving supper of our Lord Jesus. Let the Spirit breathe into you. And then turn your attention to the dry bones of your loved ones whom the Lord has laid upon your heart. I believe that God has the same plan for those dry bones of your loved ones that he had for his beloved Israel. He wants spirit-filled people like you to prophesy to them, to speak to them about the hope that you have in you, to speak to them about the joy that you have in your salvation, and about the peace that you have with God that sustains you in all of your trials and problems. Lord knows those bones of your loved ones can live again. So pray about it. until there is a fire in your own heart for those people. Pray about it until you cannot stand any longer to do nothing about it, until you must speak. And then go as the Lord directs you. Lay hold of those opportunities that He puts before you, and let the Spirit flow from you into their lifeless clay. They cannot do this by themselves, friends. They need someone to come to them and speak the word of the Lord to them. They need you. And never, ever forget, there is hope in the Lord. Lord knows, those dry bones, they can breathe and live again. In the name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.